Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry comes from Life Enrichment Realty.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks exclusively to TV, film, and soap star Angel Conwell about season 4 of her Bounce TV series, Family Time. Jen Ferris is in the studio to chat about her exciting career as a location scout manager. And Grace Stanislaus, executive director of the National Black Arts Festival, is here to give us the 411 on this month's activities. All that and so much more. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz at Entertainment News.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
The hit series, Vampire Diaries, is looking for extras to play high school students for 3 days. Tentative shooting dates will fall between Wednesday, October 5th, and Tuesday, October 18th. The show is looking for individuals between the ages of 18 through 22 or adults that can pass for teenagers. They are also looking for males and females of all ethnicities. If available, please email a recent photo, including your name, age, phone number, height, weight, all clothing sizes to tvdextrascasting@gmail.com. That's tvdextrascasting@gmail.com. The email subject should be HS students. In other related to entertainment news, the first trailer for the film adaptation of August Wilson's Fences debuted this week and is on WCLK.com for your viewing pleasure. The film stars Denzel Washington as Troy, a 53-year-old head of household who struggles with providing for his family in the 1950s. The film, which premieres on Christmas Day, also features Viola Davis, Russell Hornsby, and McKelty Williamson. The Triumph Awards will air tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on TV One. The annual event recognizes distinguished individuals and corporations in civil rights, the arts, entertainment, education, business, and sports, and is presented by the Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. This year's honorees include hip-hop superstar and music mogul Sean Diddy Combs, legendary film director Spike Lee, also Jermaine Dupri, attorney Benjamin Crump, FedEx executive Gina Adams, and Tim Murphy of MasterCard. The show is also hosted by TV and film star Tashina Arnold. Check out photos from the red carpet on WCLK.com. That's this week's Casting Buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue. You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
You haven't said anything about my dress.
That's a dress, too, girl.
You think it makes me look bad? Since we're on this little truth train, you know the other night when I said you made me happy? I faked it.
Yo, you can't fake that. I gave you the thunder.
You just heard the voices of Omar Gooding Jr. and Angel Conwell as Tony and Lisa Stallworth on Bounce TV's hit series, Family Time. The show is back for a fourth season and debuts this Monday, October 4th at 9 p.m. Upfront visited the Bounce TV studios to talk exclusively to Conwell about her role and what fans can expect this new season.
Welcome to Upfront, Angel. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
So the season premiere of Family Time airs this Monday, October 4th. On Bounce TV at 9 p.m. What can you tell us about this season?
Well, this season, I mean, of course it gets funnier. We actually, to be quite honest, we don't have a whole lot of guest stars. And the reason is, I feel like we honestly mesh so well, and the energy is just really, we're vibing this season, the original cast. I mean, we definitely have, you know, myself, Omar, the kids, we have the sisters, the brothers, the aunts, the uncles, we have all of those. But as far as just other guest stars outside of the family, We don't really have a whole lot of those, because really when you think about a Family Time, is about family, and that stretches out in so many directions. So we actually had a lot more fun with using all of the family members that have already been, you know, that have already been on the show.
Okay.
It's really funny. I mean, we have AJ Johnson. AJ Johnson, we worked together on Baby Boy.
Okay.
She guest stars. She has a really funny episode that we did. So we do have a couple, and that was AJ's first time, you know, really kind of getting back into TV. She's very particular about what she works on. So it was good to work with her again. A lot of kids, a lot of youngsters on the show, which I love because it's always really good to see them, you know, getting artsy and figuring out their scenes and what they want to do. And we just have a really good season. I actually was blessed to write one of the episodes. Bentley and Bounce, you know, they had to approve it, and that's, you know, not always easy to get everyone to agree on an episode. So we, myself and my young and the rest, my former co-star Redrick Williams, we wrote a holiday episode. It's called Happy Kwanzaa, where it's basically Lisa and Tony, Omar's character, were kind of at odds about whether we're going to celebrate Christmas or are we gonna do the Kwanzaa thing.
Right.
So that was nice. That was fun.
What was that like, actually stepping sort of behind the camera this time and also being on camera? What was that experience like writing?
It's I love it. It's something that's always been in the back of my mind. Maybe not even in the back, kind of in the middle of my mind. I knew that it was coming. I knew that it's on the way. But actually come to fruition is interesting because you see so many things that you want to do, and with time also, because we do this on such a tight time frame.
Right.
It's tough because you have to know which battles are to fight, and I'm not really a fighter anyway, but which things are the most important? What, you know, what am I going to say about this? Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
Because all of, when it comes to entertainment, you know, all of the jobs and everything, all of within every aspect, they kind of all blend. You know, all of our jobs kind of blend together,
right.
You know, so even when you're producing, it's like it kind of, you do a lot of things. There's never a specific thing or a specific job or task that everybody has because it's such a collaborative effort, no matter what you're doing, whether it's, you know, TV, film, radio, it's everything is so collaborative.
Right.
So, it's interesting, but I love it. And that's always been the point, and to produce and direct as well. But I love it.
Cool. So what can you tell us about your character? What are some exciting things that we can look forward to for Lisa on this new season?
Lisa's just, she's so funny because she's kind of like a gypsy with her life. You know, she's lucky, she's fortunate that they're pretty much in a good space financially to where she can kind of try out a job here. She can test the waters over here, test the waters over there. She's always kind of taking on, you know, odd jobs.
Right.
So she's still doing that this season. And I know she also tries to kind of step into Tony's world a little bit. I think the first season she just gets a little too comfortable hanging with Tony's friends.
Okay.
You know, so Lisa's just causing a stir. She's just doing this the normal thing that she does, which is cause a stir, you know. And I love her character because she's really dynamic. She doesn't mind being vulnerable. She has her, you know, sister moments where she's like a little brat.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the kids, she's like, boy, if you don't get your behind in that room, she has those moments. You know, I just really love the fact that she just reminds me of most of the women that I know, which have all these different, we're very dynamic.
Right.
So I continue to enjoy playing her, and each season I feel like it grows and my love for her grows. And the show, same for the show. It's like the engine that could, you know. I'm always a big rooter and supporter of the underdog in any way, shape, or form. And
how do you prepare for this role when you are sitting in your trailer and it's time to go on the set? How do you prepare to play Lisa?
Well, we shoot at Bentley Studios in LA.
Okay.
And actually this season they expanded my dressing room, and I had a friend of mine, actually Alexis Fields. She's an actress, but she has a interior design company. She's very great at that. So we redid my whole room. One side is extremely zen, you know, and the other side is kind of the party room where people come in and eat and watch TV.
Right.
So the fact that we redecorated and redesigned my dressing room really helps me get in the moment, because, you know, to be able to go out there and get really physical. And I think from what I remember, I'm a lot more physical. I do a lot more physical comedy this year from what I remember.
Okay.
I'm not sure what actually ends up on the show because you do so many takes.
Right.
But it's good to be able to just honestly just tap into yourself.
How's it been working with Bentley, Kyle Evans, and Bounce TV on this series? Because we're going into year four now, or season four. So what has it been like working with those guys?
It's always great. They're growing. The network is growing. They have more original shows. Bentley has other shows as well. So honestly, it's like being a part of a team from, like I said, the little engine that could.
Yeah.
So it's very, I feel really connected to it. And to see it grow is just like, I think there's something emotional about that. You know, so I get a little emotional every time we rap. Because each season something new has happened or something, you know, that we've had another breakthrough.
Yeah.
So it's been awesome. Even with Bounce. Bounce is doing so much. This is the fifth birthday.
Right.
Today. Yeah. They've been on air for 5 years and they've grown so much in the 5 years. So okay. Our ratings are really good. People love the show. They respond to it. And it's just it's divine order. That's really the way that I keep seeing it. Even me being here today. I'm in Atlanta working on something else right now, and it just so happens I have the day off.
Yeah.
And it all works. Yeah, you know? So that's kind of how the whole thing has been.
What was your favorite episode to shoot this season?
Besides
the one that you
had. That's funny. I would be biased. Oh, my goodness. There's one that's going to air. It's called She Got Game, and I think, you know, Tony is getting a little sensitive because I'm just as good at playing dominoes as he is, and he doesn't realize that I'm like one of the dudes. I'm one of the boys.
Yeah.
You know, that one was kind of fun, but I think I had a lot of the one with there was two. Gloria Govan, she stars on one of them. She guest stars on one.
Okay.
And we had fun doing that. But I think the one with AJ was really funny because she's just a nut. She plays a trainer.
Okay.
And
which is what she does in real life.
Which is what she does in real life. Yeah. And I felt like I had a trainer, and I wasn't ready. I was not prepared for the trainery that happened. She's a nut, but you know, I should have looked at the list because you know when you film, sometimes it's, you know, months. Now it's been 6-7 months. I've done so much since then, so my mind kind of is a little bit of a blur. But I think the most important thing is just to really just throw yourself into whatever moment it is, you know, and give it your all. And we definitely did that for each take. And I think because we move so fast, it almost forces us to do that. Because like, hey, we don't have anything to lose, you know, just get in there and do it. And Bentley's so good at, you know, get one take clean without any, you know, extras. But then after this take, go for it. Do your thing. So the scenes with a bunch of family, like where we have about 12 to 15 family members in the living room, those scenes are always a lot of fun. Okay. And they're very tough to keep a straight face because everybody is a fool. So, we have a lot of fun.
Well, Angel, where can our listeners follow you and interact with you on social media?
Angel Conwell on Twitter. Angel has two L's, A-N-G-E-L-L, Conwell, C-O-N-W-E-L-L on Twitter. Instagram is my name too, Angel Conwell, and there's also a fan page that they do keep really good. They are very updated, Earth Angels, because sometimes I'm not on Instagram.
Right.
But my website is actually going to be the main place, which is angelconwell.net.
Okay.
And we're, you know, it's up now, but we're revising it and revamping it to be a lot more interactive, and people are going to have a lot more fun with it. So that'll be the real place, my website.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for being a guest on Upfront today.
I'm excited about this.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Life Enrichment Realty, a full-service brokerage offering appraisals, staging consultations, a professional photographer, and home inspections with every listing. Some restrictions apply. Additional information is available at 678-583-3411 and online at lifeenrichmentrealty.com.
In Paris, near the Fuquay's and Zabar, said the woman at the front door, do you know the place you are? This place is for the fancy, I don't think you fit the scene. You are just American black boy, I'm a French African queen.
You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
Just stop selling. What's going on?
Cops are looking for me.
You are 19. You have the rest of your life to have babies.
Like you?
What's going on, Dre?
Are you screwing him? Because I'm out here blowing my life up for you.
You should be blowing your life up because your marriage sucks. You need to get that straight, brother. We can't have a grown-up conversation.
What do you want from me?
The truth.
That was the voice of actress Gabrielle Union as Mary Jane Paul in BET's nighttime drama, Being Mary Jane. The series features Union as a popular newscaster who is trying to balance her career, family, and love. That show is also one of many productions that my next guest, Jen Ferris, has worked on as a location scout manager here in Atlanta. Ferris is also one of four behind-the-scenes professionals that I will be talking to exclusively throughout the month of October. Welcome to Upfront, Jen. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So listen, tell our audience just exactly what does a location scout do?
A location scout's job is to find or identify a real place that correlates with the script.
Okay.
So a lot of times when you're working on a film or a television show, you're given the actual script, the words from the story. And then my job is to identify real, true places that match that story. That's
now, how did
job.
You get involved in this? Because you've had a number of other careers, but how did you get involved in this?
Well, initially, I went to school back in the 90s for broadcasting and journalism. That was my field through undergraduate and graduate school. And I always loved production. I started in production early on, okay. And I edited. We shot little shows. I mean, you name it. We did all kind of stuff creatively, but it was never here. It was here. Let me back up. It was here, but it wasn't here in the magnitude that it is now. You would see sporadic films being shot here, all the way back to Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, these things were here.
Right.
Heat of the Night in the 80s, you know, all this stuff. But I got a phone call one day, somebody who I knew from music, the music side of the business, called me and found out that I had never put that love or desire down to work in production. And she called me one day and said, hey, can you fill in for me for a few days? And I thought, okay, fill in doing what? And then she called me and says, hey, I need someone to scout for 3 days on this TV show that BET is doing. I thought, okay, that sounds kind of cool. And as soon as I put my hand back on my camera, it was just like home. You know, I had been away from it for so long.
Yeah.
You put things down thinking, oh, I'll pick that back up again. Yeah. And 10 years goes by, 15 years goes by, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I forgot what this felt like to have a camera in my hand. It had been since the 90s. And as soon as I did it, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, you don't realize what you've missed until you kind of brush across it again. And oh, my God, I missed this. And I said, call me back, you know, if you need me to do this again. And it just kind of spiraled from there and went from 3 days to 12 months. You look up and you're scouting every day of the year pretty much. And
you have worked on Being Mary Jane, Atlanta, Survivor's Remorse. Good. What are some of the other shows that you've worked on?
Yeah, I worked on, those shows were great. I really love all of those. I've worked on Constantine. NBC did a show called Constantine that was really great. NBC did that one, and Fox did Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
I've worked on films. I worked on a film that's about to come out, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. Sleepless. Jamie Foxx was in Sleepless. I've worked on one I finished just now. It was so tremendous to me. It's The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
Right.
That is through HBO, but Harpo partnered with that film. And I just think it's just wonderful that all these great films are here and that I can be a part of them.
We're talking to Jen Ferris, who is a location scout manager here in the city of Atlanta and has worked on a number of television shows and films. Now, what is the proper protocol if you are approached by a filmmaker? You and I recently had a conversation where I was approached by someone who wanted to shoot an independent film in my home. I wasn't quite sure what I should ask for, and I gave them a cost, and they said, well, that wasn't, you know, sort of in our price range. But what should a person do if they are approached by someone who wants to shoot something either in their home or in their business?
Yeah, first, I always tell homeowners or business owners to verify that it's a legitimate project. Call the state of Georgia's film office, ask questions. They should provide you with some type of form, a document, letter, something that has the production company's name and phone number on there. If they don't, then tell them to bring it back. Get me the information so I can just verify everything. The film companies move pretty rapidly, so don't sit on it. If you get a scout letter in your mailbox, call, respond, because they're probably under a deadline and they're looking for quick options to choose from. Nothing that's going to drag out for weeks on weeks. But also ask questions about insurance. Is this a production that's providing insurance? They should. Even a small independent production company should offer you to insure your home or place of business, because if something breaks or is damaged, the homeowner should not be obligated to fix that. It's something that should be discussed in your negotiation when you, how much does it cost to lease your space? Talk about that. What happens if something breaks? What happens if something's damaged? Can you cover that? At least let me prepare myself. And they should be prepared to pay for space. You're providing them with a canvas or the color
right
to your canvas. So there's a value in that.
Well, Jen Ferris, thank you so much for stopping by. We totally appreciate it. Where can our listeners follow you and interact with you on social media?
Oh, I use a website that's Jen, Ferris is Ferris.com. And I'm the only Jen Ferris on IMDb, which is kind of surprising. But IMDb is short for the Internet Movie Database. And so if you put in Jen Ferris, my page pops up. And I try to keep all of my projects current and linked through those sources. Anything social networks are kind of linked between those two. I'm on LinkedIn, but I don't use it very much. But I'm on there. And so you can find me. Those two sources are probably great, but jen-ferris.com should get you to everything. And I try to just, be approachable. People ask me questions a lot on email, and I'm fine with that. I don't mind sharing resources or things I know, or, hey, check this out. Oh, here, read about this. I try to read a lot. And I always tell people that, entertainment is one of these great industries that I probably have never applied for a job since. I don't think I've ever applied for an entertainment job. Maybe since the 90s. I don't know. But if people like you, they want to work with you. If they don't like you, they will not work with you. So it's all a very important. It's a relationship business. There's no one way to get into it. But if you continue to network with people and also be available for opportunities. And even free ones. I mean, hell, I'm not opposed to some of that either. But just make yourself available and never stop wanting to learn something new. And you'll run across so many great opportunities here. The canvas, the door is open for Georgia film, music, entertainment, arts, culture. And it's really just for those who are ready to take it. They say, opportunity dances only with those already on the dance floor. And I believe like that's absolutely the case. And though you don't believe that they do come true. For did my dreams come true when I look at you? Maybe too, if you would believe, you too might be. You're listening to the sultry sounds of jazz vocalist Nina Freelon giving us her interpretation of the Stevie Wonder classic, Overjoyed. She will be appearing at the Rialto Center tomorrow afternoon as part of activities for the National Black Arts Festival. That's right, NBAF is back for another month full of cultural and artistic activities for the entire family. And here to talk about that and more is the festival's executive director, Grace Stanislaus. Good morning and welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
Good morning and thank you for having me. I'm doing very well today. Thanks.
No problem. Well, Nina Freelon should be an exciting show. We've got our very own Reva Blue, who's going to be hosting a post-conversation with her. Let's talk about that event tomorrow.
Yes. Well, we're so excited. First of all, Nina Freelon is just extraordinary. You know, we don't have to say it's 6-time Grammy Award nominee, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, you know, for that reason alone, but also because she is just amazing and she's worked with such amazing artists. So we invited her, but also let me just say this. We're talking about this as a celebration of a dynamic partnership.
Okay.
So while she's in town, her husband Phil is also going to be in town. And right. I just want to, you know, talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, we will.
But for Nina, what we're doing is we've really just invited her to come, and she's going to do her repertory, whatever she wants to do. But we said when we talked initially, what about focus on some, you know, women vocalists that you really want to celebrate and honor?
Yeah.
And so she's going to do something, you know, very special.
Okay.
The other part of what makes this really very exciting is that we will we've invited a local choir. So there is a finale, a really special finale performance where she's invited this choir to come and perform one of her anthems.
Oh, wow.
And so this is the Antoine Holman and Transformation Choir.
Okay.
That is a local choir. And it's just going to add that extra little spice to the experience, you know, when you see them come on the stage at the end of all of that. And also, just because we are welcoming Nina back to Atlanta after many years, I believe that they said it's about 12 years at least that she's been here.
Okay.
So this is a homecoming, a celebration, a welcome back to Atlanta,
yeah.
an opportunity to celebrate really one of the world's just great jazz vocalists. And so we also invited Reva Blue to participate in this because, you know, radio personality, jazz vocalist herself.
Yeah.
And we didn't want Nina to just come into town and perform and then she's gone. You know, there's got to be an opportunity for dialogue. And this is a part of what makes our season, and I think just how we're doing our a festival
right.
a program season now, is this kind of exchange. You know, what is at the heart of what you're doing? What's coming up next? What's exciting? What are you working on that you want to share? So Reva is actually introducing, and I didn't want to do it. I wanted somebody who really knows, you know, the heart, really understands and appreciates who Nina is, to come on and introduce her. And then afterwards, there'll be a post-conversation, a post-performance conversation between the two of them. And, you know, they can go whatever direction they want, but I want to talk about jazz. I want to talk about what Nina's doing. I want there to be an exchange between the two of them. What are you both doing? You know,
right,
I want to hear
right.
a little bit. So it's a very exciting program. I mean, we're hoping that everyone comes out and, you know, really, A, supports MBAF with the programming we do, but also just to celebrate bringing Nina back after all of these years at the Rialto.
And great jazz music.
Great jazz music. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, you cannot get enough ever of great jazz.
Now, you mentioned that this is also a partnership because her husband
yes.
is also coming as well. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay, fabulous, fabulous. So we have a program called In Conversation with Phil Freelon, and
okay.
Architect at the Forefront.
Okay.
And the reason why I called it that is that, you know, I know Phil from some previous work that we've done together. But he also is a renowned architect. And when I thought about how I wanted to construct the program season for MBAF, you know, I said, we don't know enough about, and we don't celebrate enough about what Black architects are doing in this country. You know, they've built fabulous structures, great buildings, but there's so much literature that doesn't include them.
Right.
And so I wanted to really bring Phil here for two reasons. One is I wanted him to speak because he is very articulate and he's got an incredible career and history that he can share with us. But also because he's coming out of the glow of just having been, you know, celebrated in Washington, D.C. with the opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. He was a co-designer on that project.
Wow. And amazing.
It is.
I think we all, I know for myself, last weekend, I was in my barber chair watching the live stream that Oprah provided for us
Wasn't
on Facebook.
It
so it was amazing.
It's so moving.
Yeah.
And for him to be here in Atlanta, the other thing that's, you know, wonderful is that he also is the designer of the Center for Civil and Human Rights.
Okay.
And so I wanted it. The program is at the Center for Civil and Human Rights on Saturday at 2:30.
Okay.
And, you know, it just makes sense for him to talk about his thinking about this building, this particular building.
Right.
You know, what are the images? What did he use? What motivated him? What was the creative process that led to the structure looking the way it does? And then, you know, in D.C., that fabulous new building, it would be great to hear him talk about the evolution of that project. It took so many years.
Right, exactly. So, and from what I've seen on social media from individuals that have been sharing that have already had an opportunity to go inside, it's beautiful. I mean, they have so many outstanding exhibits and artifacts and costumes from different entertainers and so many different things that we have not seen about our history is right there in D.C. So really excited about that. That's
good.
Awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
Well, there's a lot to celebrate this weekend. There's a, you know, it's just this couple and how really extraordinary they are, how incredible their partnership has been.
Right.
And they have very talented children as well. So this is just a family that, you know, so to me, this was like celebrating the freelance weekend, you know.
Okay.
And so that's what makes the programming so terrific. And I'm really encouraging your listeners to come to both.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a clip of the world-renowned step and dance troupe known as Step Africa, and they'll also be returning to Atlanta as part of MBAF next Saturday on October the 8th at the Rialto Center. So why did you all decide to bring them back? I had an opportunity to see them last year, and I kind of understand why, but you tell me why you decided to bring them back.
Well, I mean, it's just incredible performance, you know, and also because our audience kept talking about it. I mean, after they had gone, I saw that incredible performance. But also because, you know, the reason why we invited them in the first place is because there's this incredible tradition here in Atlanta at the AU Center, you know, the Atlanta University, of which you guys are a part, you know.
Exactly.
So, you know, that stepping tradition is strong and deep within our culture. And I wanted to make sure that we understand that our traditions continue and that they're sustained. So when we bought Step Africa back last year, they were celebrating their 21st anniversary.
Okay.
And just that whole idea of an organization like this, taking that tradition off the campus and really embedding it in the larger culture, making it a part of the popular culture.
Right.
So now they perform all over, nationally, internationally. And we have cause now to look at the history of how that form, you know, of dance, of performance, art has evolved, and from Africa to today and on our campus, and how it's been reinterpreted by our young people. And it's a tradition that's sustained. So it's one of those things where you don't want tradition to be old. And, you know, we know it's dynamic. We know it's forward moving. And Step Africa just represents that. The other reason that I wanted to bring them back, particularly to perform this production called The Migration Reflections on Jacob Lawrence, is that one of the things that I particularly like about the whole idea of multidisciplinary arts is that there's also a cross-disciplinary aspect to it. And so here you've got the visual artist, Jacob Lawrence, celebrating his 100th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And you also have the reunification of 60 of his works from the Migration of the Negro series. Now, that's amazing that that has happened. 60 works reunified after they've been all over. And Step Africa has taken inspiration from those works. And they're focused on the migration from the South to the North. And they're doing dances in costume. There'll be African drumming. There'll be vocals. There'll be visuals of Jacob Lawrence's work on screens in the background. And they're just dynamic dancers, performers. I mean, you have to see in order to truly appreciate how incredible the dance form is now.
Well, you know, last year when I attended, I was sitting on the first row, and it was it was so amazing because at one point I literally thought they were going to leap off the stage, that we were that close. But it was just visually beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I love the fact that they are that they combine the step dancing or the stepping, I should say, with traditional Zulu dance moves. And I remember the one piece that they did where they had the Zulu, they were celebrating the Zulu tradition and the Zulu culture. Mm-hmm. and it was outstanding. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we gave them several standing ovations.
And I'll say this, I had not seen them before.
Okay.
But I just fell in love, you know, with it. And I think it's what you describe. It's how they really smoothly integrate, the South African gumboot tradition with our Western African dance forms. And, it's really an extraordinary group. And that they've taken this and given new life to the stepping tradition is really worth seeing. So I will say this. It's at the Rialto Center, right on Saturday, October 8th, 7:30 p.m., tickets are still available.
Okay.
It's going to be extraordinary. And it's good for young children, too.
Yeah.
So I'm really encouraging families to come out. We had an audience last year when we bought them that was so diverse. The young people wanting to understand how this is done.
Right,
and,
right.
And then we had some frat brothers in the audience and they did a big call out. It was just a huge amount of fun. Yeah. Just a huge amount of fun. And there'll be an opportunity after to talk with the founder, Brian Williams of Step Africa, and maybe one or two of the performers. We did that last year. And it just was a good way for the audience to get to understand what they're looking at. All of the information, nbaf.org.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Grace, thank you so much for stopping by. We're really excited about what's happening in October.
Yes.
Cannot wait to see my buddies, Jewel and Daryl. Mm-hmm. And I just may stop by to hear Nina Freelon
on
tomorrow.
Yeah, will you please?
Yeah.
Do it. Do it. It's going to be a great experience for you.
All right. Thanks so much. And you're always welcome to come back to Upfront anytime.
Wonderful. Thanks for the invite.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd like to thank my guests, Angel Conwell from Bounce TV's Family Time, Location Scout Manager Jen Ferris, and the Executive Director of the National Black Arts Festival, Grace Stanislaus. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and of course you, the listener. Don't forget to tune in next Saturday, October 8th at 9 a.m. for another edition of Upfront. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry comes from Life Enrichment Realty and online at lifeenrichmentrealty.com.